Hi, welcome back to the next in the series of tutorials on creating great UWP applications for Surface Hub. In the previous two tutorials, we looked at how to move, drag and drop using our fingers, and how to add ink using an active stylus. In this tutorial, we're going to look at ways to remove modality from your UWP application. And what do we mean by that? Well, if you remember the original application, when you create a job, and in fact, we could just run it here. Let's set it up to run on a remote machine. And when you want to run on a remote machine, you have to go to the debug properties, and you have to make sure that it's set to be the IP address of the remote machine. And actually, if you look up here, when you run a hub in developer mode, it tells you here what the IP address is, and that's kind of useful. So we can use this IP address in here, which in this scenario is 121.191. And then I can run this on the remote machine. So it'll now build it and deploy it to the remote machine, which in this case is the hub, and I'll just move the hub into user mode or into active mode. It's still building. It's downloading the package from Visual Studio across the wireless at the moment. And hopefully in a second, it'll deploy and run the application. And we can have a look at the different ways it's modal. So here's the application. We'll just run it full screen. And the first thing you see is that, well, actually the menu itself is kind of hard to reach for anyone apart from the guy right on this side of the screen or on the left-hand side of the screen. And when you create a job, the rest of the application freezes. So all that you can do is create a job. This is a modal dialog, which is fairly common. Our job today is to remove the modal dialog. So, still to do. And the other thing you'll know is when you edit, you go into this modal mode as well. So now I can't do anything else. So if one person tries to edit one job, everyone else has to stop working at the screen. Not a great scenario. It would be much better if those jobs could be directly edited here, and there's no reason they can't be. So let's go and have a look and see how we can actually do that. It's actually not so difficult. Let's have a look at the job control class. If we move back to the code, we can have a look at the job control class. And here in the XAML, we can change these text blocks to be text boxes. Now, of course, a text box is something we can enter into as opposed to a text block, which is display only. So we can do it for both the title and the description. Now, in order for this to work with any kind of use, the binding needs to be two-way. So we will change the mode to be two-way so that it goes not just pushing or binding the content out, but also collecting what's being put in there. So that's a pretty straightforward way of accessing this. Now, what I am going to do here is set isHitTestVisible to false for the ink canvas. Now, you may remember we did that before in the inking tutorial. When we added the ink canvas, we did it when we created a job, but I'm not sure if we did it. Well, clearly we didn't do it when we added the annotation to the interface because it was a text block before. It didn't matter. We could just ink over the top of it. No one could interact with it. But now it's interactable. We want people to be able to touch the text box with their finger so we can get a keyboard input. And we want people to be able to draw on the ink canvas using a stylus. So if we build this and run this, we should see that we can start interacting and editing directly with the jobs on the device. And this is a big step forward in that it really removes the need for us to, again, no jobs are stored because that's the way it works. So if I create a job and give it some details and create it, you see now, if I move this over here, I can start editing directly in place. The job, which is great. So I've now got the ability to interact with the job in place without having to interrupt other people, which means that potentially other people can carry on moving things around or scribbling on the jobs while I am editing or entering new text into a job. So kind of useful and a good step forward. Now, what we really want to be able to do here is to make it easier to pick up the job. One of the things you would have noticed is that while I kind of have to grab it by the edges. If I try and drag a job by the center, it's not picking it up because it sees that as a text box, which is to be expected. So it would be good, and it'd be a good user experience to have some kind of affordance on the UI that indicated this is movable. So let's add some handles to a job so that it's clear to a customer, to a user, that they can pick that job up and move it around. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to look inside that job control again. If we go back to the code and look at the job control, we'll just move a few things around in here. The first thing we'll do is under the row definitions, we're going to add a border so that at the top of the grid, we'll have a border that goes across the whole width of the job. But it's quite narrow or quite shallow. It'll only be 15 high. And we'll use that to pick up the object. So it will act as an affordance to grab the job object around and move it. Now we set the background to transparent because if we leave it as null, then it's not hit test visible. So you need to have some setting in the background. Transparent is good enough for your hit testing to work on it. If it's not transparent, if it's null, it won't be hit testable. And we'll put it at the top as we said. Now inside that border, we're going to draw some rectangles in a grid. So let's create a grid, which is also up at the top. And inside that grid, let's create a set of rectangles which are stretched across the whole of the width of the object, are black, so they're nice and thick. We'll make them two. So they're just like black vertical lines that are going to run across this object, and we'll just set them off the corners, off the edges just a little bit with a margin, and we'll set them up at the top as well. So let's just do a couple more of these rectangles so we've got kind of an array of these objects. And they're all pretty much the same. We'll just offset the margin for each one by a little bit more so that they display as kind of a row of, a row of lines that we can see clearly as a handle and we can drag around. Now, in order to maintain its visual experience, this is another challenge we have. We need to really make that object that we're moving around a little more fixed, because as we move it around, one of the things we notice is that it loses some of its relative positioning. And as we drag an object, as we drag one of those jobs around, it doesn't look quite right. So we can fix that now by just fixing the two different rows, the title row and the description row, to a fixed height. And that'll make it a lot easier to see them being moved around. So if we now, we might need to just fix a couple more things. We're gonna just move the title text box down a little bit, because remember, we've got those handles just above it. So let's just grab that and use the margin to offset the title text box just a little bit, so that it's shifted down into the space that it, so it can fit in. And then the rest we're using the grid rows to manage things in anyway. So we should be pretty good if we now run this up. We should be able to see that we have some handles to move this around with. So just wait for it to deploy again. Okay, so now it's deployed. And if we create a job, you see we've got these kind of grip handles at the top. We could probably do something nicer than that, but as a quick and dirty UI solution, of course we should get some designers involved. We have handles at the top of the object so that it's easy and obvious how you grab it, and yet we can still add content directly into the job as we move it around. So that's a starting point. All right, we need to fix this a little bit. We've still got some issues with the title. We maybe move that up a little bit, but we're getting a bit closer to having a nicer looking application, but it's more functional too, in that it's obvious how you grab it and how you move it around. Now, one of the other problems is that we have with this application is that the hamburger menu at the top left corner is really kind of a problem, because it means there's only one way you can create a job, and you have to move your body over to that side of the screen. So if there's people in the way, you have to kind of either ask them to do it or nudge them out of the way, and then it creates that job and it goes modal. So let's fix that. How are we going to fix that? Let's go to the code and have a look at the job view model. Now this job view model has a method called create job. But all it really does is just create a job and add it to the jobs collection. What would be kind of useful at this point is if it returned the job, and that's quite easy to fix. Because if we return the job, then there's stuff we can do with it. So by returning the job, we could utilize that job to create a new job control that we could position somewhere as a floating object and then work with that rather than being fixed to this modal interface. So if we go back to the jobs XAML CS file, which is where the job gets created, and we look at the create job method, here we go, create job click. It creates the dialog and uses that to create the job, and then it's done. It doesn't really care what happens. So we're going to change this. Let's get rid of this. This is what we want to get rid of. We don't want to have this dialogue. Instead, let's get the job that we're creating from the jobs view model. Let's create that job. And we'll create it with empty constructor at the moment, in terms of it won't have a title or a description. And it will just have a new list of inkstroke objects. that we can draw in at some point. And it probably wants some namespaces. It probably wants a couple of them. Yep. So now we've got that job created, we could do something similar to what we did before. Let's create a job control called drag job control. That's a draggable job control. Remember, we did something a bit like this if you watched the first tutorial on drag and drop. And we will set the data context equals that new job that we just created. We will set the fill color to light gray so that it's consistent with an object that's being moved around. If you remember, when we move an object, the background changes to light gray. Now, where should we place it? Well, we want to place it relative to top left. So we'll again do the vertical alignment equals top and the drag job control horizontal alignment. Oh, horizontal alignment equals left. So we're always relative to top left. And then we want to get the width of this, or set the width of it to be approximately a third the width of the screen so that it fits into a column. So it looks like it's part of a column, and the width of the screen is this object that we're working with, the jobs object, because that represents the entire page which we're working within. We're then going to create a new button, or get a button, which is the sender button. Now, why are we doing this? Well, if you think what caused this method to be triggered, what caused this method to be triggered was someone hitting create job as a button, and we can use that to determine where to place the job. So if the button's not equal to null, i.e. we actually have something that's a button that sent created this, let's use that object to determine where to place it. So we're going to transform to visual that button object relative to the main grid. And then we'll use that to translate the position of this new draggable job control, same as we did before when we were creating the in the tutorial one, where we're creating the drag and drop objects. So transform point, and we'll just use 0, 0. So top left of that. So we're transforming that point, and then we'll set the x equal to p dot x, and we'll set the y to equal p dot y. So now we're moving this object into the position of where the button is. Drag control dot render transform, not render size, render transform equals tt. So we'll move it and position it next to the place where the button is. Then we need to add it to the job script. This code should look reasonably similar to the code that we had before, so you should be familiar with this if you did the drag and drop tutorial. Because at this point, we're also going to add a new gesture recognizer so that it can actually be moved around. Because once you create it, someone wants to fill in the details for it. So we need the manipulation input processor. And we will pass in the recognizer, the drag control, the drag drop control, and the jobs grid, same as we did before. So this now enables us to move the object around, and the jobs view model, remember, has that method which we wrote a while ago in the first tutorial to move a job. And that moves it into the moving state. So it's somewhere. And the last thing we'll do here, in case they are still using the hamburger menu, is we will set the showing menu to false so that it hides the menu. Right, so what we've done is we've created a new floating job. And we'll just look at that while we deploy. We've created a new floating job that every time you create a new job, it creates a job that's just an object floating around on the screen. And so you could create another one, and you're not blocking anyone from carrying on working. So if we go back to the hub, and we'll just move this one out of the way and have a look at creating a new job, you'll see that that job just gets created as a new object that I can drag around, and I could create another one. And I could drag that around too, and I could create another one. And I could drag that around. And so now we're no longer in this modal scenario of only one person being able to do something at a time. On this screen, we can now have multiple people creating jobs, interacting with the job board at the same time, which is what you'd expect on a huge 84-inch screen, is that it's not just mine, but it's a group of us working together to brainstorm, solve a problem, present some ideas to each other. Right, there's a couple of things I want to do. I still want to get rid of this horrible hamburger menu. I want some other way that we can create jobs. Because right now, if I'm on this side of the screen and there's people there, I have to ask them, hey, can you create a job? And they could make one and flick it to me. But it'd be nice if I could do it from here too. So let's look at how we can do that. Let's go back to the code and have a look at that. Just gonna save a couple of things. Have a look at the main jobs XAML file. This is the place where kind of all the main grid is defined, where we define the columns for the different work in progress, to do, etc. Here's those columns. We're going to add a couple of columns here, one on the left and one on the right. Shouldn't be a big surprise. We made them quite narrow, but this gives us the ability to add a couple of little menu blocks on each side of the screen. And we can use those menu blocks to create a new grid of menus. So let's create a new grid. Let's make its background black, so it's similar to other controls that we see on Surface Hub, and we'll place it in the first column, which is of course a zero, because we are a real programming language, and we will make it stretch across the whole of that column, which is not a great amount of space, but anyway, and we'll make it stretch the height of the column as well, so the whole height of the screen. So now we've got a grid with that's black background that goes across that whole column. Inside that, let's add a button. And that button, we're going to actually use some of the Sago MDL2 assets to make it easy for ourselves and have a nice consistent Windowsy type feel to the content of this. And if you haven't looked it up, look up the SIGO MDL2 assets online, and you'll find a whole collection of essentially iconography in the in that font that you can use to add to buttons and things so that they look consistent with other Windows applications. So we'll make the foreground white so the button content is white. And we're actually just going to tag this as the left button, and you'll see why in a moment. We'll make it the full width of that column, and just for consistency, we'll make it the same height. So it's a nice square button. Now remember, in order for people to be able to tap it, it needs to have a fill color. In the background, we're just going to make transparent, because we actually just want to see the background through this. So now we've got a button. I guess what we should do is have a click event handler, right? So on click, let's create, actually, do we already have create job? I think we already have. Create job click. Okay, so we can reuse that create job method. Now we want another one on the other side, so we want one on the left and one on the right. So let's grab that grid that we just created and put exactly that grid, but we'll put it in the fifth column, which is number 4, which of course makes so much sense. Now there's a couple of things we need to do now because we've shifted everything over. We need to make sure that we have moved over the other parts of the interface because they would have previously been in, so the to-do column, for example, would previously have been in the grid column 0. And we need to move it to grid column 1. And then we need to go down and change the work in progress to grid column 2. And the done column, to grid column 3, so that now we have them all moved across between. We do need to do a couple of other things. When we create a job, so let's go to that code where we create the job again. If you remember, we created the job, we set the width of the job, but what we didn't do was enable it to move across columns very easily. So what we're going to do is set the column span for the drag job control to 5, because it now can drag across all the columns of this grid. And one other thing I want to do is that here, actually let's just go back because I didn't change that. On that second button, if you remember, we created a tag left. On that second button, I want to create the tag right. And I'll show you why, because the position of it is going to need to change. So if button.tag to string equals right, we need to shift the x coordinate to be the x coordinate minus the width of the drag job control. Why? Because we want it to come out from the right hand side rather than left hand side. So we actually need to move the top left of that drag job control so that it's the width of it away from the right hand side of the screen or away from the button. Okay, so now if we build this again and we deploy it, we should be in a position where it's much easier to create jobs. It's much easier to not have to move across the other side of the screen, and more than one person could actually be in control of creating jobs at the same time. So let's just build and deploy this again, and hopefully it'll come up. Here we are. And you'll notice now that we have two buttons. I don't have to go over to the other side of the screen. I can just create a job here. here's the job, it got created right where I expect it to be, and I can start work on it. And then I can move it across here and place it in the to-do. So there's a button here for creating jobs, and there's a button here for creating jobs. We've removed that rather nasty hamburger menu from being needed anymore, and we can work from either side of the screen to start working on doing things. And there's actually no need for any modal interface at all. So this is could be removed, this edit, and we will remove it in the future, but this could be removed because we can edit directly in place, remember. So I can grab a job and start putting details into it right here in place without having to move into a modal interface. So we now have changed this fairly considerably into a Surface Hub application that has removed the need for modality. It's enabled us to create jobs at the same time. It's enabled us to get rid of the create job modal dialog and the edit job modal dialog. We can interact directly with the content, which is a much better experience for someone standing at a big screen like this. And we've moved the menus so that they're now accessible. And you'll see this a lot in Surface Hub applications, in Microsoft Surface Hub applications. The menus are either side, they're accessible from both sides, and you can work from either side of the screen. And also they're lower down, so those buttons are more easy to reach than a button. Like if this was mounted on the wall quite high up, which often they are, a shorter person may not be able to reach that top hamburger menu here. They can easily reach those side menus. So what did we look at? We looked at how to change things to be direct in-place editing, and we changed the menus. This makes a much better Surface Hub application. So in the last four tutorials, we've started really converting this, and we're almost halfway there now. We've converted this into a much richer Surface Hub application. We've gone from a very basic UWP application. We've added drag and drop, we've added inking, and we've now removed modality. In the next tutorial, we'll look at how to add support for camera and capturing the camera input and utilizing that in our application as well. So there are two cameras on Surface Hub, one on each side of the screen, and why not take advantage of that and use that in your applications? And we'll show you how in the next tutorial. Thanks for watching.